You have your Bibles today. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter number 7. Don't forget about no church tonight. You spend time with family. I'm going to preach this morning on what I think is the greatest example of a father. A little boy asked his friend one day, what's your dad do for a living? And the little friend said, well, he's a magician and he does tricks. The little boy said, that's cool. What kind of tricks does he do? And he said, well, he cuts people in half. And the boy said, wow, you got any brothers and sisters? He said, yeah, I got 4 half-sisters and 1 half-brother. I believe that the Bible places God Himself before us as a perfect example of fatherhood. After all, God is our Heavenly Father, amen? And I want us to look this morning at Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to read verses 9 through 11. Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. The Bible says, what man is there of you whom if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he then, being evil, knowing how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask of him? May the Lord bless the hearing and the reading and the receiving of His word today as I talk for just a few moments on the greatest example of a father. I believe God's the ideal and perfect father. I believe He's the best example of all man. Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven, perfect. Now that puts a little pressure on us, doesn't it? Because we know there's no one perfect but the Lord Jesus Christ. But, listen to me, it ought to be our goal as a Christian to live a life to be as close to the Lord Jesus Christ as we can. It ought to be our goal as a Christian to live a life without fault or without blame. So, no earthly father has the wonderful power of the Heavenly Father, but we can, as His children, we can imitate the loving concern of a Heavenly Father to His children. Amen? That ought to be our goal as Christians, to do everything that we do to please God. So I just want to mention several things today, and then we'll give an invitation. And I want to say, number one, that our Heavenly Father loves His children. Now I'm talking about the greatest example of a father, and we're talking about the Heavenly Father. And I want to say the Heavenly Father loves His children. You believe that? God loves you. You don't hear anything I say today, I want you to hear this. God loves you, His children. And I want to say something about that love. That love is universal. The Bible says it like this, that God is love. John 3:16 says God loves the whole world. It's universal. God loves the godly and He loves the ungodly. Amen. He loves the unlovely and He loves the lovely. He loves the Gentile and He loves the Jew. He loves the saved and He loves the lost. He loves the Americans. He loves the Germans. He loves those in North America. He loves those in South America. He loves those in Europe. He loves those in Africa. God loves the good and bad. God loves you and He loves me. Aren't you glad? His love is universal, but it's also impartial. It's impartial. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. I mean, God is equally fair to his children? Sometimes we don't think so, but he is. God has no pets. He has no favorites. He doesn't love me more than he loves you. God loves us all. Now, he does have intimates. There's some of you that might be closer to God than others, but God loves you all. God has no grandchildren. God is no respecter of person, the Bible says in Acts chapter 10. So his love is not only universal, but it's impartial. And his love is constant and unchanging. Aren't you glad? I mean, his love is constant and it never changes. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, God doesn't love you one day and then dislike you the next day. Now, he loves you this day, and he loves you tomorrow, and he's going to love you the next day. His love is constant. It never changes. His love endures, amen? His love is lasting. It's unchanging. It's real. When you get God's love, you get the real deal, amen? His love is satisfying. It's filling. It's constant. His love's unconditional. Aren't you glad? His love's unmerited. His love's amazing, amen? His love's awesome. There's no other love like it. Agape love, the Bible says. It's remarkable. It's supernatural. I thought I knew love until I got saved and God put a love in my heart. It's a supernatural love. Hey, I love how the Bible says it in Romans 8:28. The Bible says, The Bible says in verse 38, for I'm persuaded that neither death, listen to this, neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody say amen again. Boy, I'm telling you what, that's some kind of verse, isn't it? I'm persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Not death, not life, not angels, not principalities, nor things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate me from the love of God if you're found in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen? Boy, I'm telling you what, if that verse don't get you stirred up, your soul set up. I'm talking about the Heavenly Father, God. He loves us. He loves his children. His love is sacrificial, isn't it? And redemptive. The Bible says he loved the world so much that he what? He gave. He gave. He not only told us that he loved us in his word, but he went a step further. And he gave his only begotten son. Can I tell you this? Christ died so you could live. Christ died so you could have eternal life. Christ died that you so that you might have abundant life here on this earth and then have it forever when you leave this world. God's love is sacrificial. He sacrificed his son so you and I could be redeemed. Boy, I thought about that. And I thought about the love that God put in me. I'm telling you, I say this every Sunday, but when I got saved, God put a love in my heart that I didn't have for other people. But you know what I thought of? I thought of this. I love each and every one of you in here. I'm telling you, I've had the privilege. I've been in the ministry now for about 20 years. I've had the privilege of meeting some wonderful, wonderful church folk. And listen, I love people. I've met friends that I'll stay friends with forever. I love you. I love each and every one of you in here. I thank you for allowing me to be your pastor. I love you. I really mean that. I really do. There's not a person in here that I don't love. But you know what? Hear my heart. I wouldn't sacrifice my son. And you wouldn't either. But we serve a God that loves us so much that he sacrificed his only son. So you and so me, you and I could have eternal life. Man, his love is super. His love is amazing, isn't it? His love is sacrificial and redemptive. What a Savior, amen? You say, preacher, why you get so excited sometimes when they sing those old songs about the cross and about what Jesus did? Because it's real. He loved us that much. He loved us so much that he walked up Calvary's hill. He loved us so much that when he hung there on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His love is real. Christ died so you and I could live. And what a Savior he is. Can I say this? The Heavenly Father loves his children. If you're in here today, I want you to know God loves you. I want you to think about my second point. I told you I was preaching on the example of a good father, a great father. I want to talk about the ideal earthly father. And when I talk about the ideal earthly father, if we're going to be the ideal father, then we've got to imitate the Heavenly Father. So think about this with me. The ideal earthly father imitates. Earthly fathers must, listen to me, we must imitate that kind of love that I'm talking about. Bible says, be ye perfect as I am. I know we can't be perfect, but we can strive to be. We can do all we can to be. Earthly fathers must imitate that kind of love. Our love must be constant. Our love must be unconditional. My daddy had 5 children. And he loved each and every one of us. Every one of us. He loved us all. He didn't have favorites. I think I was his favorite, but I'm not sure. He loved us all. 20 years difference between me and my older brother. By the time I was coming up, I had daddy all to myself. All my family done moved on, got married and moved on. But he loved us all. And he died when I was 17 years old. He was 55, and I wasn't but 17 years old. And I remember mama telling me this years after daddy died. Daddy had an aneurysm in his brain, and they took him to Emory Hospital to do surgery. And I remember mama telling me this now, that daddy was able to speak to every one of his children before he went into surgery the next morning. He spoke to every one of them. He told them how proud he was of them. 2 of them were bricklayers, and my daddy was a bricklayer. And one of them was a manager of a meat department. And daddy just told them how proud he was of them. And I remember when it was my time to go in there. Me and Sharon went in there. We were going together. And I remember when it was my time to go in there and see daddy. And you know, when you're 17 years old, you don't think about nothing. You don't think about death. I had no idea that'd be the last time I'd see my daddy alive. I just went in there, and you know, I was a 16-year-old boy, and you know what the first words out of my mouth was? Daddy, I found a car I want. That was the first words, wasn't it? First words out of my mouth. Man, there was a 1972 Mustang in Waldoboro. And that thing was sharp. I mean, it was pretty. It was metallic blue. Had Krager mags on it. Had a big motor in it. Had glass packs. I mean, that thing sounded good. Jacked up a little bit in the back. I mean, it looked good. And it was pretty. And that's the first thing I said, Daddy, I want that car. I want that car. I didn't know that was the last time that I'd see my daddy alive. And you know what the last words my daddy said to me was? Get it. Get it. And daddy didn't make it through the surgery. Something went wrong during the surgery and he died. But you know what? He slipped off into heaven. But daddy loved each and every one of his children, and he cared for them. I can say this about my daddy. His love was constant. Even while he was going through all of this, his mind wasn't on him, but it was on me. It was unconditional. And by the way, I got that Mustang. I don't know how, but Mama got it for me. I don't know where the money come from, but I got that Mustang. And I thought I was the coolest 17-year-old boy in Walterboro with my 1972 blue Mustang with Krager mags and glass packs and big motor and my pretty blonde-headed girlfriend riding right beside me. I mean, she rode close to me, too. Had bucket seats, but she rode close. She asked me the other day, how come we don't sit together like we used to? I said, well, I'm still in the same place, honey. Right up to the end, God, my daddy imitated godly love. He loved us all. He wanted to spend time with us. Daddy, spend time with your children. Daddy, spend time with your grandchildren. I couldn't help but think about the parable of the prodigal son. You know that story. The boy come up to his daddy and asked for his inheritance, and he got the money and ran to a far country, and he wasted it, the Bible says, on riotous living, and he ended up in the pig pen, and then kind of a light bulb went off in his head, and he remembered his father's home. You remember that story? And he remembered that he had a father, and he remembered that the hired servants at his daddy's house was a whole lot better off than where he was in the pig pen of life, and he decided to go home. And I don't know this to be true, but this is the way I see this story. I see that father praying for his son every day. Fathers, I want to tell you, you need to pray for your children every day. Pray for him to be separated from this world. I can see this father, and he's praying for his boy to come home. And I can see him every day. Maybe he's out there hoeing the watermelons, and he's looking up to see if he can see his boy. Or maybe he's out there slopping the hogs or whatever he was doing, and he kept looking down that long dirt road to see if his boy was coming home. Maybe one day he slipped out the front door and something caught his eye, and he looked, and it looked like somebody walking down that road, and he looked a little bit closer, and guess what? It looked like his son, and he said, oh, it can't be. It can't be. Is that my boy? And the closer he got, the more it looked like him, and all of a sudden, the Bible says that he ran to his son, and he hugged him, and he kissed him, and he celebrated because his son was lost and had come home. And he said, kill the fatted calf. Get the biggest ring. Put it on his finger. My son was lost, but now he's come home. Pray for your children. Pray for them. Pray for your grandchildren. What got me was the father forgave his son. I'm going to tell you, if that's not an example of our Heavenly Father, I don't know what is. Aren't you glad that you're forgiven? Jesus said, if you forgive others for their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. Oh, I couldn't help but think about our Heavenly Father. He's merciful, isn't he? Man. Bible says his mercies is renewed every day. He's kind and forgiving. Aren't you glad? Boy, I'm so glad that he's a forgiven God. And we as his children must imitate that type of love. Last of all, good father does things for his children. God does things for us, doesn't he? He gives us mercy each and every day. He forgives us every time we come to him and repent of our sins. He blesses us every day with good gifts. How many of you got a roof over your head? How many of you eat breakfast this morning? Man, my wife cooked me a fresh egg right out of the chicken pen. And man, God's good. And a good father does things for his children. We're to provide for their needs. I'm telling you, the Heavenly Father provided for Israel when they wandered there in the wilderness. The Lord sent them manna and quail and water, and he gave them a cloud of fire by day and by night to be a GPS system for them so they could get around. And the Heavenly Father provided for them the whole time they were in the wilderness. The Bible says this, that he provides for the little birds. The little sparrows. The Bible says, look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, and yet their Heavenly Father feeds them. And then it says, are you not much better than they? I'm telling you, earthly fathers ought to be providers. Earthly fathers ought to work and sacrifice for the needs of their children. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:8. If a father makes no effort to provide for his children, he's not worthy to be named father. The Bible says he's worse than an infidel. We're to be providers. We're to work. We're to provide for our children. A good father teaches. Oh, the Bible says it like this, bring up a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach your child to read the Bible by letting them see you read that Bible. Teach your child to pray by letting them see you pray. Teach that child to get ready for church by letting them see you get ready for church. Let them see you living for Jesus and not the world. Let them see Jesus in you. Godly fathers imitate the teaching role of God. Boy, I couldn't help but think about my daddy. I had the privilege to go yesterday morning and teach the men at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. And I just told about some stories about my daddy. My daddy taught me how to love my country the hard way. My daddy was drafted in the military during World War II. He just turned 18, he got drafted and went to the Philippines and fought for 2 years. And I'm going to tell you, I've told you this before, but one day in history class, I was drawing instead of listening to the teacher. I still love to draw sometimes, and I drawed a picture of a man that I didn't even know who he was. But you know who it was? It was Hitler. And I was just in history class, and I was flipping through the pages, and I seen a picture there of Hitler, and I said, I believe I can draw that. So I just took my pencil out, and I began to draw Hitler. And I was so proud of it, I still got it to this day. And I was proud of that picture, and I couldn't wait for Daddy to come home so I could show him the picture that I drew of this army man. And boy, that was a mistake. You know what he told me after he finished whipping me? I went to war 2 years because of him. And I'm sending you to school and you drawing pictures of him? He taught me to love my country. My daddy taught me to love the church. My daddy was at church every time the doors were open. My daddy was one of those type of men that worked around the church. He was a maintenance man. He could work with his hands, and he did things around the church, and he loved the preacher. He always, I never heard my daddy say anything bad about a preacher. He loved his preacher, and he would bring his preacher home with him sometime to eat. Seemed like every Sunday we had a preacher at the house eating, and I was always afraid because he'd say, boy, you better be on your best behavior today, because the preacher's coming over. But he taught me to love the church, and he taught me to love the Lord, because I've seen him loving the Lord. I've seen him reading his Bible. I've seen him praying. I've seen him filling out his tithe check every day to give to the church. He loved the church, and he taught me how to love the church. My daddy taught me how to love my wife. And I got in a little trouble last Sunday night, some of the things I said, but I'm thankful for God's forgiveness and her forgiveness. But my daddy taught me how to love my wife. They always acted like honeymooners, and it used to get on my nerves. I was a teenager, and they were in their 50s, and they was always holding hands and just acting like teenagers. I'll tell you this, and then I'll quit. My daddy went to work every day of his life. It wasn't raining. Then he went somewhere. But mom and daddy would kiss by. Daddy'd walk out the side door and get in his truck, and there was a window right here, and mom would run to that window and wave at him. And then he would come around the house and go in the front, and there was another window in the front of the house, and mama was at that window waving at him. And then we had, you know, back in those days, we had dens and living rooms. And there was a living room down the hall, and mama would run to the living room and wave at daddy. Every day. Every day. They loved each other. And he taught me how to love my wife. Men, we've got an example. And he's our heavenly Father. And I just want to encourage you to do your best to live for Jesus. Let me tell you why. Because one day we'll give an account because of it. One day we'll stand before the Lord and give an account of what we've done with him. Live for Jesus. Let's do our best to be the best example as we can for our children. Remember this, somebody's watching you. Your children's watching you. Your grandchildren's watching you. Set a good example. Be a man of God. Be a godly example for your children. Let's pray together. Father, we love you today. And Lord, thank you so much for your love for us. Lord, thank you for this privilege to just preach a little bit, Lord, on being a godly father. God, I pray that we would all, every man under the sound of my voice today, would do his best, Lord, to be that godly father that their wife would be proud of, that their children would be proud of, but most importantly, Lord, that you would be honored and you would be proud of. God, I pray if there's someone in here today doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, they'd come today, give their heart to you. Maybe, Lord, there's some in here and they've been visiting for some time and they feel like that God's leading them to join Northside Baptist Church. Speak to them today, Lord. Lord, maybe they just need to come. Some dads and moms need to just come and get on this altar and pray and ask God to lead them to be the best example that they can be for their children, for their grandchildren. Maybe just want to come and pray. But Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just move, speak to hearts. Lord, give them the boldness to do what they need to do today. And Lord, we'll give you all honor and all glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's stand together.